Chapter 92. King's College, established by King George IV in 1829, was originally housed next to London's Somerset House on property granted by the Crown. Their Department of Religious Studies still resides on the college's original campus adjacent to Parliament. King's College Religion Department boasts not only 150 years' experience in teaching and research, but the 1982 establishment of the renowned Research Institute in Systematic Theology, which possesses one of the most complete and electronically advanced religious research libraries in the world. Langdon still felt shaky as he and Sophie came in from the rain and entered the library. The primary research room was as Teabing had described it, a dramatic octagonal chamber dominated by an enormous round table around which King Arthur and his knights might have been comfortable were it not for the presence of 12 flat-screen computer workstations. On the far side of the room, a reference librarian was just pouring a pot of tea and settling in for her day of work.
"Lovely morning," she said in a cheerful British accent, leaving the tea and walking over. "May I help you?"
"Thank you, yes," Langdon replied. "My name is..."
"Robert Langdon,"
she gave a pleasant smile.
"I know who you are."
For an instant, he feared Fash had put him on English television as well, but the librarian's smile suggested otherwise. Langdon still had not gotten used to these moments of unexpected celebrity. Then again, if anyone on earth were going to recognize his face, it would be a librarian in a religious reference facility.
"Pamela Gettam," the librarian said, offering her hand.
She had a genial, erudite face and a pleasingly fluid voice. The horn-rimmed glasses hanging around her neck were thick.
"A pleasure," Langdon said. "This is my friend, Sophie Neveu."
The two women greeted one another, and Gettam turned immediately back to Langdon.
"I didn't know you were coming."
"Neither did we. If it's not too much trouble, we could really use your help finding some information."
Gettam shifted, looking uncertain.
"Normally our services are by petition and appointment only. Unless, of course, you're the guest of someone at the college."
Langdon shook his head. "I'm afraid we've come unannounced. A friend of mine speaks very highly of you, Sir Lee Teabing." Langdon felt a pang of gloom as he said the name. "The British royal historian?"
Gettam brightened now, laughing.
"Heavens yes, what a character, fanatical. Every time he comes in, it's always the same search strings. Grail, grail, grail. I swear that man will die before he gives up on that quest."
She winked.
"Time and money afford one such lovely luxuries, wouldn't you say? A regular Don Quixote, that one."
"Is there any chance you can help us?" Sophie asked. "It's quite important."
Gettam glanced around the deserted library and then winked at them both.
"Well, I can't very well claim I'm too busy now, can I? As long as you sign in, I can't imagine anyone being too upset. What did you have in mind?"
"We're trying to find a tomb in London." Gettam looked dubious.
"We've got about 20,000 of them. Could you be a little more specific?"
"It's the tomb of a knight. We don't have a name."
"A knight? That tightens the net substantially, much less common."
"We don't have much information about the knight we are looking for," Sophie said, "but this is what we know."
She produced a slip of paper on which she had written only the first two lines of the poem. Hesitant to show the entire poem to an outsider, Langdon and Sophie had decided to share just the first two lines, those that identified the knight.
"Compartmentalized cryptography," Sophie had called it.
When an intelligence agency intercepted a code containing sensitive data, cryptographers each worked on a discrete section of the code. This way, when they broke it, no single cryptographer possessed the entire deciphered message. In this case, the precaution was probably excessive. Even if this librarian saw the entire poem, identified the knight's tomb, and knew what orb was missing, the information was useless without the cryptex. Gettam sensed an urgency in the eyes of this famed American scholar, almost as if finding this tomb quickly were a matter of critical importance. The green-eyed woman accompanying him also seemed anxious. Puzzled, Gettam put on her glasses and examined the paper they had just handed her.
"In London lies a knight, a pope interred. His labor's fruit a holy wrath incurred."
She glanced at her guests.
"What is this? Some kind of Harvard scavenger hunt?"
Langdon's laugh sounded forced.
"Yeah, something like that."
Gettam paused, feeling she was not getting the whole story. Nonetheless, she felt intrigued and found herself pondering the verse carefully.
"A According to this rhyme, a knight did something that incurred displeasure with God, and yet a pope was kind enough to bury him in London.
Langdon nodded. Does it ring any bells?
Geddon moved toward one of the workstations.
Not offhand, but let's see what we can pull up in the database.
Over the past 2 decades, King's College Research Institute in Systematic Theology had used OCR text recognition software in unison with linguistic translation devices to digitize and catalog an enormous collection of texts, encyclopedias of religion, religious biographies, sacred scriptures in dozens of languages, histories, Vatican letters, diaries of clerics, anything at all that qualified as writings on human spirituality. Because the massive collection was now in the form of bits and bytes rather than physical pages, the data was infinitely more accessible. Settling into one of the workstations, Getham eyed the slip of paper and began typing.
To begin, we'll run a straight Boolean with a few obvious keywords and see what happens.
Thank you. Getham typed in a few words. London, Knight, Pope. As she clicked the search button, she could feel the hum of the massive mainframe downstairs scanning data at a rate of 500 megabytes per second.
I'm asking the system to show us any documents whose complete text contains all three of these keywords. We'll get more hits than we want, but it's a good place to start.
The screen was already showing the first of the hits now. Painting the Pope, the collected portraits of Sir Joshua Reynolds, London University Press.
Getham shook her head. Obviously not what you're looking for.
She scrolled to the next hit. The London Writings of Alexander Pope by G. Wilson Knight. Again, she shook her head. As the system churned on, the hits came up more quickly than usual. Dozens of texts appeared, many of them referencing the 18th century British writer Alexander Pope, whose counter-religious mock epic poetry apparently contained plenty of references to knights and London. Getham shot a quick glance to the numeric field at the bottom of the screen. This computer, by calculating the current number of hits and multiplying by the percentage of the database left to search, provided a rough guess of how much information would be found. This particular search looked like it was going to return an obscenely large amount of data. Estimated number of total hits, 2,692.
We need to refine the parameters further, Getham said, stopping the search. Is this all the information you have regarding the tomb? There's nothing else to go on.
Langdon glanced at Sophie Neveu, looking uncertain.
This is no scavenger hunt, Getham sensed.
She had heard the whisperings of Robert Langdon's experience in Rome. This American had been granted access to the most secure library on Earth, the Vatican Secret Archives. She wondered what kinds of secrets Langdon might have learned inside, and if his current desperate hunt for a mysterious London tomb might relate to information he had gained within the Vatican. Getham had been a religious librarian long enough to know the most common reason people came to London to look for knights. The Grail. Getham smiled and adjusted her glasses.
You are friends with Lee Teabing. You're in England, and you're looking for a knight.
She folded her hands.
I can only assume you're on a Grail quest.
Langdon and Sophie exchanged startled looks. Getham laughed.
My friends, this library is a base camp for Grail seekers, Lee Teabing among them. I wish I had a shilling for every time I'd run searches for the Rose, Mary Magdalene, Sangreal, Merovingian, Priory of Sion, etc., etc. Everyone loves a conspiracy.
She took off her glasses and eyed them.
I need more information.
In the silence, Getham sensed her guest's desire for discretion quickly being outweighed by their eagerness for a fast result.
Here, Sophie Neveu blurted, this is everything we know.
Borrowing a pen from Langdon, she wrote 2 more lines on the slip of paper and handed it to Getham. You seek the orb that ought be on his tomb. It speaks of rosy flesh and seeded womb. Getham gave an inward smile.
The Grail, indeed, she thought,
noting the references to the rose and her seeded womb.
I can help you, she said, looking up from the slip of paper. Might I ask where this verse came from and why you are seeking an orb?
You might ask, Langdon said with a friendly smile. But it's a long story, and we have very little time.
Sounds like a polite way of saying mind your own business.
We would be forever in your debt, Pamela, Langdon said, if you could find out who this knight is and where he's buried.
Very well, Getham said, typing again. I'll play along. If this is a Grail-related issue, we should cross-reference against Grail keywords. I'll add a proximity parameter and remove the title weighting. That will limit our hits only to those instances of textual keywords that occur near a Grail-related word.
Search for Knight, London, Pope, Tomb within 100-word proximity of Grail, Rose, Sangreal, Chalice.
How long will this take? Sophie asked. A few hundred terabytes with multiple cross-referencing fields?
Getham's eyes glimmered as she clicked the search key.
A mere 15 minutes.
Langdon and Sophie said nothing, but Getham sensed this sounded like an eternity to them.
Tea?
Getham asked, standing and walking toward the pot she had made earlier.
Lee always loves my tea.